Steve. Hi, guys. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy. Welcome to the show. It's Friday. I told you it would get here eventually, and here it is.
A nice snowy Friday to look forward to.
Yeah, they're for people who don't know, and how can you not know, they're expecting this weekend to be a very snowy one. Morgan Kochmeyer from WGN Television will join us shortly to tell us what to expect and when.
We have dodged a bullet now 2 weeks in a row where the blizzardy type snow happens over
on
the
weekend. Yeah.
I know that's not a blessing for people who work the weekends, but
right.
Still, for the most part, less traffic on weekends.
It makes it a little bit easier, doesn't it? If we're going to have snowstorms, and we are, schedule them for the weekends, please.
There was a very snowy winter we had, I want to say maybe 3 years ago, where it snowed every Saturday.
Really?
Because I was working Saturday mornings with Lou and John then, and
yeah.
Just what you could expect, every Saturday was a snowstorm. For about, I don't know, 18 weeks.
What? No.
Okay, three or four.
But. All right, that's more realistic.
I want to say we're through the worst of it, but we're not. It's only just begun.
That's very optimistic, but no, I think snowier days and colder days are ahead. This one will be one of those classic, get a bunch of snow and then have it be really cold immediately after.
So that's why, you know, I'm going to ask you guys, the guy in my house likes to wait till all the snow has fallen and then shovel. Mm-hmm. I am of the mindset that you keep up with it. Like you go shovel.
Constant shoveling.
Not
throughout.
Constant, but, you know, in shifts. And then Jim says, well, you're just working harder. And I said, are you? Because if you wait till there's 10 inches.
Right.
Then it's like heart attacks.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's not good.
So what is the proper way to shovel? I know, buy a snowblower. Okay.
Yeah, I have a snowblower now, so.
Do you do your neighbors?
No, I don't do my neighbors.
You don't do the sidewalk in front of your neighbor's house?
I actually don't have a sidewalk in front of my house, but.
Okay. Because
my neighbors all have services.
Do they?
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, then that takes care of themselves. That's
guys,
fine.
I had a service guy once stop and applaud me for doing my own driveway with the snowblower.
Wow.
Because I saw my neighbor last weekend, and he did the house next to his on one side,
yeah.
And the other house next to his on the other side, and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's acceptable.
That's standard. Yeah.
But then our neighbor usually does the whole block.
There's a guy on our block, John, and I don't know how he makes the decision of where to stop and where to start, but he always does quite a few houses on one side of the block, quite a few on the other. But I would hate to be that cutoff house where you go, you were already out here and you did 11 other
right.
houses. Why'd you stop at me?
You know, on the Biz Lunch today, we're going to talk about there now are like Uber drivers who'll do your driveway.
Oh, really? They're
like, yeah, on demand.
It's a
snow
great
plowing.
Business.
It is.
All right, I might partake in that.
About $50.
That's not, is that horrible?
I don't
There's
have
a bunch of snow.
A very big driveway.
The 50 is too high, right?
Well, they actually use a formula. They do the surface area by the depth of the snow.
Yeah.
So it is like an Uber ride. It depends on what your conditions are.
There was a time when I was a little kid where I saw other kids shoveling driveways and making money, but I didn't see the actual transaction. I just knew that that's what they were doing. So then I started doing it, and I was charging 50 cents per driveway, and my mom said, and I quote, are you an idiot? Why would you do an entire driveway for 50 cents? I go, I don't know what the rate is. She goes, well, it's not 50 cents. We pay $5. And this was in the 70s.
50 cents?
Yeah.
You?
Oh, people were lined up.
I'm surprised you didn't say 100.
I still get calls from people wanting to know if I'm available on Wednesday.
Wait, my favorite part of that story was you were doing other people's driveways for 50 cents and your mom was paying someone else to do hers for $5.
Well, at earlier times, she was paying people, but that, yeah.
Again, there has to be a sitcom involving your life.
No one would believe it. No one would believe
the
it.
The Left Family, nutty.
Yeah.
Carpeted wall.
But, you know, when you're a little kid and you have no income at all, 50 cents seems like, even though it was taking me 45 minutes to an hour to do each driveway and walkway, at the end of the day, I guess who walked home with $2.50? Me. I was on the Fortune 500 list.
And that began your daily allowance.
Of biggest idiots.
All right, well, we're going to take a break, and we're going to then talk to meteorologist Morgan Kochmeyer and find out exactly what to expect, because it's a-coming, people. It's a-coming. It's Bill and Wendy, 720 WGN. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. We will soon be walking in a winter wonderland because we are still involved in winter, and we go live to Morgan Kochmeyer morning meteorologist at WGN-TV to find out when to start worrying. Hi, Morgan.
Hey, you guys. How are you?
First and foremost, we are going to start out with a text that says, can you please check Morgan's ID? Because I don't think she's old enough to be a meteorologist.
All right. We'll look into that.
Well, I assure you I'm quite a few years removed from old enough. But yeah, obviously on the younger side, late 20s here.
Wow. And such a successful career. And we've got a big storm a-brewing. We've been hearing everybody talk about it, and there has been some wiggle room with how many inches we can expect and when exactly things are going to start. So we are going right to the source. Morgan, what do you have for us?
Well, yeah, we've already got some of that snow in very far western Illinois, Joe Davies County, Carroll County, which is basically if you take 88 straight west to the end of the state. So already moving in on us, we'll probably see that as quick as probably between 2 and 4 near I-90 and north, and then between 3 and 5 near I-88, and then further south, obviously, your latest, 5, 6, 7, you start seeing that. But yeah, several inches for everybody. Highest amounts look like they'll be on the northern half. So 88 north, you've got 4 to 8 inches.
Like, give some examples of towns that are around there.
Well, that includes Cook County. That includes Chicago, obviously, the big one. You go north toward Waukegan, McHenry, Woodstock, west toward Aurora, even Joliet on the edge of the higher totals. Basically, I mean, if you're near Interstate 88 or all the way up to the Wisconsin line, so most of our viewing area is going to be between 4 and 8 inches. And I say it sounds like a wide range. I think 4 inches is likely for nearly every spot. We might see some further south communities down near like Kankakee, Bourbonnais, southern edge of Jasper and Newton County in northwest Indiana. They might see a little less of totals, but most of us, 4 inches should be pretty easy. I think we'll see quite a few in that northern fringe, that north of 88 area, that get close to that 7-8 inch mark.
Morgan, sometimes we get lake effect snow thrown into the mix. Is that going to be the case this time around?
Yes, absolutely. We'll see winds come in north on Saturday night. So they're more northeast, which will give us lake effect snow. But by Saturday night, they turn a bit more straight north. And lake effect snow, it's one of those things you watch up to the minute, right? Because we all know, I mean, it can stay in one spot and just dump 5 inches of snow and then scoot right by another community. Right now, all of our guidance shows to Cook County seeing a good portion of that lake effect snow. That's still a good 36 hours out, because we're talking most of that accumulation for lake effect being Saturday night into Sunday. So that's kind of additional to that 4 to 8. And yeah, I mean, right now, Cook County, extreme northeast Illinois, Lansing, Chicago, north of there, that's kind of where the bullseye is for the lake effect, but that could change. I mean, those winds, one small shift, and then it's in northwest Indiana.
Is this something that makes you love your job when you're able to announce these big things?
These are my favorite days. Yeah, I mean, you guys, I'm like singing in commercial breaks. I can't even help it. I just get so excited. I mean, I could appreciate a nice quiet day at work, but I mean, this is why
you
to
do
be
it.
A meteorologist.
Good move,
right,
Morgan.
Exactly.
Scheduling the last two on weekends. Very good move. I don't know how much you made into that, but well played.
Yeah, I know. You know, it's good, but it's also bad because then you're the last one on the air on a Friday to give the forecast for the next day.
Yeah.
You know, so you almost wish it was like a Sunday.
Right. Right. Now, Wendy brought a toboggan in. She wants a toboggan home. That's impossible, right? You can't do that, can you?
She wants a toboggan?
Yeah, she wants a toboggan all the way home.
I don't do any cold winter sports. I don't ice skate.
Skating,
I don't do anything.
Nothing. Huh.
Yeah, well, I mean, you could definitely take it up this weekend.
All right, so we get the snow. I'm hearing rumors that it's going to start somewhere 3-ish is a ballpark figure, and then it's going to really intensify overnight.
Exactly. Yep. Winter storm warning starts at 3. A lot of that is north, especially early on, that I-90 and north of there and into Wisconsin, that initial start time. Heaviest of it's overnight, and that's where you get like the inch per hour snowfall rates, which is heavy snow falling, and that's where we should really start to see it stack up.
And then it gets...
Which is good, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
It's overnight.
But then the second half of this 1-2 punch is then it gets pretty brutally cold right after the snow starts falling, huh?
Exactly. Yep. So we'll get snow showers through at least noon tomorrow, if not 3 o'clock in some places south. Lake effect through Saturday night and Sunday afternoon. But then the Arctic air behind this brings in highs near probably 15 on Sunday.
Right.
Probably 6, 7, 8 degrees Monday morning.
Yeah.
And then, you know, wind chill factor down below zero.
Did you ever hear of Tom Skilling? Do you know who that is?
Right. Once or twice.
So a couple years ago, I said to Tom Skilling, I've heard people say, oh, it's too cold to snow. And Tom Skilling said, that's impossible. There's no such thing as too cold to snow. Do you know anything about that?
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, no such thing for it. There's definitely different environments where you see it more often and you see it stack up heavier. But we're nowhere near too cold to snow, that's for
right.
sure. I mean, 15 is something we've seen plenty.
All right.
And your recommendation, I am thinking people should shovel in shifts, especially if it's going to be brutally cold after that, because if you don't clear your car off or clear your walks off, that's going to be like chipping away at it instead of shoveling.
Right, you're right. And probably just get up early tomorrow and at least get that first half out before the really cold air rushes in. Some good news to this is this snow's a little bit more on the fluffy side versus that heavy, wet stuff. So at least, you know, when you plow, it'll be able to go through a little bit easier. But yeah, you probably want to do it in the morning before that second, so you can get a second round in before the cold air moves in.
Are there meteorological terms for snow? Like you just said, the heavy, wet stuff, and we all knew what you meant. But Wendy's not a meteorologist, and I'm not. Do you guys have terminology?
Yeah. We talk about something called the snow-liquid ratio, which is basically how light or how fluffy snow is versus how heavy or wet.
Yeah.
So we have a really high snow-to-liquid ratio this weekend. Not really high, but fairly high. That means it's going to be lighter and fluffier. It will be even a higher ratio on Sunday with lake effect snow. When we have heavy, wet snow, we have a low snow-to-liquid ratio, closer to like 7 to 1 or 8 to 1.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's all kinds of good numbers and... But who wants to sit there and listen to all that?
So
we just talk about that in the Weather Center.
I think the term should be slurpy snow or snow cone snow.
Oh.
Because a snow cone's wetter.
Slushier.
And yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think you should add that into your repertoire.
Okay. Yeah. You know what? That seems a little more of a Paul Conrad move. So
you're right.
I'll add that over to him.
Morgan, what about this? My daughter, Kylie, is going back to school in New York tomorrow afternoon. New York's going to get it even worse than us, right?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, they should. And you know what? I wish I knew ahead of time and I would have looked for better for them. But, yeah, it is interesting to see. This thing came off the Pacific Ocean over at, you know, California, moved all the way across and will still slam the Northeast Coast. But I wouldn't be able to give you specifics on it.
That's all right. We'll figure it
Maybe
out.
Maybe she can delay her flight.
Well, she's afraid. She keeps waiting for them to call her and say that it's been delayed. It's tomorrow afternoon, so we'll see.
I'm not sure where Sean Cassidy lives, but how much snow will he get?
Yeah, we'll have to tweet him and ask him about that. I'm pretty sure he's done with all my tweets.
All right, for people who don't know, was it a viewer that posted something and said, I think Morgan Kochmeyer and Sean Cassidy are the same person? Was that what happened? And then Sean answered you and tweeted back?
Yeah. Somebody wrote in saying that I looked like him, and I think they sent in like that collage picture of me next to him on air, and I was like, oh, great. You know, I guess if you're going to look like a guy, might as well look like a heartthrob.
True.
And I tweeted it out, and he saw it, and he played it off well. He said, I think you're much prettier, but your mom would disagree.
Right.
Did
that
you know,
was great.
Morgan, you're a little bit younger than us. Did you know who he was prior to this or not?
I knew the name, but no, I didn't. Like, I was with Robin and Larry that day on the 6 to 10, so of course, you know, Robin's all excited.
And jealous.
And they look at me, they're like, we got to show you a little more about who that is.
I believe Robin's tweet was, I've never been jealous of a millennial before.
Oh, that's nice.
Yep, resident millennial there.
You guys have so much fun. You do such a great job, and you're so nice, but I'm still mad at you that we're getting all this snow.
That's all right. I can take it.
All right, Morgan, when can we see you next on WGN-TV?
Back at 4 a.m. on Monday.
All right. Thank you, Morgan. Great to talk to you. Have a wonderful weekend.
Great to talk to you guys, too. Thanks for having me. See
Morgan Kochmeyer from WGN Television.
I love her.
Telling us what to expect this weekend. It sounds like, I mean, we'll get through it. We've been through far, far worse. But it is on a weekend, so it's
Do
not going to
shovel?
Affect. Oh, yeah.
Does anyone help you?
Not usually. Last week, my wife actually did quite a bit of it, but normally, I've told you, it's been explained to me that I'm the guy in the house, so it's my job, but...
Doesn't seem fair.
In a time where equal rights are everywhere, I think that...
did you pull that out?
I did not. No. I can be stupid if I want to be, but I... Self-preservation is number one. All right, let's take a quick break. We've got a lot on today's show. We're thrilled that you're listening. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Luff. It's Wendy Snyder. Later on the show, we'll talk television with Alexander Zeldman of TheDecider.com. And then rock legend Denny Lane joins us online on the stream, the bonus hour from 12 to 1.
Two of our favorite things. We'll talk television today and music later on. What a perfect way to spend a Friday before Armageddon.
Before it's all
Snowmageddon.
Over. Right, right. Wendy, one of your idols is...
Billy?
No, not Billy Idol. One of your other idols is receiving criticism today.
What?
It's a name that I had never heard until you mentioned about a month and a half ago, and I've heard it nearly every day since. Marie Kondo is her name.
Love her.
She's a tidying guru, right? Is that accurate?
Yeah. She's an organizer.
She's an organizer. She helps people, like if you have clutter in your life...
Why are you looking at me?
Is she the one with the show on Netflix?
Yes, yeah. I love it. It's called Tidying Up.
I'm trying to find a show last night. I love when you talk TV with these guys, but like, why do I want to watch a show about someone cleaning up?
Because it gives you ideas. Can I just say that there are many reasons why some of us are not organized?
Mm-hmm.
Honest to God, many of us were not taught how to clean or organize things.
But don't you think even beyond being taught, there's some personalities that just don't see it as possible or
absolutely
important?
But like even, I just have to tell you, if you do nothing else, watch a video of Marie Kondo folding a t-shirt. Seriously, you guys. My whole life, I have two teenagers and Jimmy Mack, who counts as a third.
Yeah.
And all they have so many t-shirts. So you fold them, you put them in a drawer, and they're just stacked on top of one another, so of course they want to wear the one that's eight down, so then the rest of the drawer becomes disheveled. She teaches you how to fold it so it's in like a small package about the size of a woman's wallet, and they're all stacked.
Yes, you can fold it that small?
Yes, they're all stacked up vertically with, like, if there's a logo on it, that's what's upright, so you can fit like 30 t-shirts in one drawer, and then you can like look in there and go, oh, I want to wear the Yardbirds t-shirt today. So you see the actual design on the chest, the way it's folded, and bing, you pull it out.
Okay.
Now, I haven't put this into use yet, but I'm going to this weekend when we're snowed in.
So I can fold my t-shirt the old-fashioned way in approximately 0.7 seconds.
This will take 1 second more. I'm honestly, and then, you know, she explains that as you're folding t-shirts, it should be fun, and you touch it, and then she does have you have a relationship with your clothes that most people won't have.
That's peculiar.
It works.
It's fun to fold t-shirts. She's making it fun.
Well,
sensual.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't put this into full use yet.
Bill, take your t-shirt off. I want to see Wendy fold it.
Let's find a t-shirt, and I will honestly show you how to do it. There's got to be a t-shirt laying around here.
There's one on the table here.
All right. I will show you.
Where you kind of lost me with her, not today, but in the past, is when you said that when you go through your things to decide what to keep and what to get rid of, that you need to thank those items for being in your life before disposing of them.
Okay,
I can't do that. That might be extreme,
but I did it on some clothes, and I didn't do it on others. Some, it's like I looked at it and go, I never liked you.
Oh.
I only bought you because you were on sale. Oh. I'm kidding. I didn't say that. But I thought that.
But that I don't know, because they're inanimate objects. It seems weird. I guess there's some... There's
you
something
don't talk
in
to your
there.
Car ever?
I do not ever talk to my car.
Come on,
I
turn over.
I don't. I don't.
Well, I don't know. She's in trouble? Or?
Here's why she's in trouble. One of her rules, and I don't know how many, does she have? Is that her thing? Does she have X amount of rules? Mm-hmm. Is that she's known for that? Okay.
Well, she has techniques, let's say.
So one of her techniques, that's better, is the thing that people are criticizing her for. She says that there is no reason at all. Now, keep in mind, as you hear this, her reasoning behind this is that she believes that less clutter makes for a better, easier life.
It does.
You're not thinking about all the things you have. It's just a cleaner existence. All right. So she says there is no reason that you should have more than 30 books in your home. Do you agree with that or disagree with that?
It's on a case-to-case basis, because there are some people who don't want to part with things, but I save books.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to reread them. They're kind of like trophies. I loved the X-Files. I have all these X-Files books. I finally said, I'm not going to revisit them.
Right.
So I'm able to get rid of those.
You can get rid of them.
You know, classics, I mean, 30 books are a lot when you think about your favorite books of all time.
Right.
And if there's more than 30, perhaps you can either display them in an orderly fashion.
Right.
She explains that.
Wendy, my greatest fear is that she visits the family classics set and just starts tossing out those classic books.
But they're organized.
We don't want to see that.
There are, I mean, God, I shouldn't say this on the air, but my oldest son, Michael, he has albums strewn about his room.
Well, you could certainly apply this to albums. You could apply it to DVDs,
but
to CDs.
If you get a shelving unit, which I have to order, that Pete Zimmerman recommended, birthday boy, mm-hmm. and if it's displayed in a nice way, she is not opposed to that.
She's okay with that.
I don't think DVDs are the same as books or albums. They're not as personal. Right?
Some people.
Steve, I have a case. There's a case in our living room that I bought specifically. I have my 100 favorite movies in the case. And I love it. I just love I love looking over and going,
you just made me laugh.
There's, look at the 100.
My 100 favorite.
There's 100 great movies in that case.
What's the 101, the one that's crying right outside the case?
Oh, boy, that's a good question.
That is.
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that, but there's got to be some that just missed the
cut. I don't have 100 favorite movies.
I worked with a guy a couple years ago, and he was doing a thing where he was asking different people. I don't know if he was writing this for some. I don't know what his reasoning was, but he goes, I'm asking a bunch of people to list their 100 favorite movies. And I go, honestly, Tony, that's going to take me weeks. I stayed up all night, and I listed them, not in order of number one to number 100.
No, sure, not.
My favorite 100. And then... And then I thought, when I was done, I go, it's a shame I don't own these movies, because what if I'm in the mood to see one of them at some point? So
then you rent it or download it.
So you didn't even collect these as you watched them? You created a list and then you went out and filled it?
Correct.
But that's okay. Can I just say, that is something that is your specialty.
Yeah.
You love movies.
Right, right, right.
There's nothing wrong with you having that. And
right.
It sounds like they're displayed nicely.
They are, yeah.
And they're organized. So Marie Kondo would not be have a problem
She'd
with that.
She'd be okay with that.
Oh, now she speaks for Marie.
I will, because I watched every episode. There's also something coming up in the news that I saw that it's like gender specific. Like only women are the ones who are cleaning up. And that's not true. If you watch, there's only like 8 episodes or 6 episodes on Netflix.
Yeah.
There were some families where the guy was like mad at his wife going, listen, I can't live in a disorganized space like this.
Right.
And they were the ones who did most of the work. You have a mixed marriage usually. Usually there's like Jim.
There's a neater and a less neat partner. Right?
I'm kind of a whirling dervish.
Yeah.
Jim is pretty neat and organized, but that's because he's a collector.
Oh.
The Star Wars room is the neatest and most organized room in the house.
Sure.
He takes care of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I say, well, if I only had one room.
So the criticism there is
but I got the rest of the house.
Let's go through the anatomy of the fight here. Okay. And then what does he say?
But he cannot stand when I have piles going, and
sure.
I'm really trying in this year to clean those piles and go through them. Last weekend, oh my God, I can't tell you how many bags of clothes and papers I got rid of. I'm doing it
your own or other family members?
Well, mostly mine.
She has inspired you.
I totally 100%. I'm going to take every weekend, and I'm not putting the pressure on. I'm just going to say I'm every weekend I'm going to do something.
Right.
I'm really bummed. I just went looking for that T-shirt that's been around here, and I can't find it.
Where is it?
Someone must have picked it up. It was on the free table.
Yeah,
I got to find, because I'm telling you, that is life changing.
Is there one in your office? I'll go rifle through your office.
Yeah, go see if it's in the office. Okay. That's fine.
You can go to Marie Kondo Basic Folding Method on YouTube. It's there.
Not Marie Calendar?
No.
I'm going to the wrong website.
She shows you how to fold in ingredients while making something.
It's amazing that way. But I do, I'm not going to criticize this woman. I don't know enough about her to criticize her, but I don't believe at all that 30 books, like that should be the cutoff for anybody. You have so much to learn from books. I told you the other day, I can't throw a book away for anything.
That's
what
she said.
I'll donate it. I'll bring it to a secondhand bookstore.
But that's what she's saying.
I'll give it to somebody.
Don't throw it out. But, it, you know, you look at it. I mean, come on. There are some books that I have found in our house. And, God, who was I just talking about this? You know, like some MS-DOS computer books. There's no way you're going to use those.
Right.
And there's no way, you know, Half-Price Books is going to take them. Right. I don't think.
No, because they're, yeah.
All the, when I started at the Loop radio station in the 80s, I had all these rock and roll books, like Rolling Stones Encyclopedia of Rock and Roll Music. And I used that, you know, to come up with information.
Sure.
And I found them, and it's really hard for me to part with them. It's because that was my life, was music.
Yeah.
But I feel like, you know what, they're outdated. I can get this information online.
Sure, I know. Well, you could say that now about almost anything, about any book, television show, movie, you name it. You could download it very easily. You don't have to have a physical copy. I was saving for a while. Now, keep in mind, I started doing this before you could just go to Netflix or any similar service and download an episode of a show. But on my favorite shows, like I've got the first 15 seasons of The Simpsons, I've got all the Seinfeld episodes, all the Monty Python episodes, all in DVD box sets. So if you followed her belief in this, get rid of them, don't have them. But I like having them.
The average person, she is saying that too.
Right,
if that's
right.
Your specialty, there was one woman on her Netflix show, and there was a dress that she had that her grandmother bought for her.
Mm-hmm.
The dress didn't fit her anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But the grandmother was no longer around, and she just kept holding on to it, going, I need to keep it. I need to keep it.
Yeah.
And then Marie Kondo said, you know what? You can keep sentimental items.
Sure, of course.
Just find a place for it. And the more this girl thought about it, she said, you know what? I want to give this dress away so it can give someone else the joy that it gave me to wear it.
That's nice.
And then you kind of feel like this big weight has been lifted off your shoulder, because it's like, you know what? I don't have to think about it anymore.
Right.
It's not going to, you don't have more memories of your grandma than this dress.
Right, true. What did Steve Bertrand just bring you?
A t-shirt. Although this is sad to me right now.
Why?
Because it's autographed by King B. Ron Britton, and he autographed this for someone, and someone didn't care about it. That's sad.
Now everyone knows, so.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, it's a Nostalgia Days t-shirt.
Would that make your 30 t-shirts to save, or would you throw that one away?
I'd toss it in a second.
You would? Oh, all right.
We'll
take a quick break. How honest. We'll take a break and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. You almost made the Kermit Schaefer bloopers tape during that commercial. You came very close.
Kermit
Schaefer texted me.
I have folded a t-shirt into a very, it's like a small pocketbook size.
Yeah, I watched you fold it. Now, it did. You know, it took you, you used the Marie Kondo method of folding t-shirts.
It took me longer than the original one.
Quite a bit longer.
But look at how much smaller and compact.
It's very small.
And
wear it as a pocket square if you wanted to.
I will, during the news, Jasmine, maybe we can take a video of this, of the folding technique. You should, honestly,
we're going to break the internet.
No, you should just watch Marie Kondo do it, because she does it much better, and she's much more pleasant than I am.
Oh.
She smiles, and she feels the fabric, and she gets, it sparks joy in her. That's what
it
does.
I bet it does.
But there were, I was thinking of you during the break, because on this show, Tidying Up on Netflix,
mm-hmm.
there is a guy who collects gym shoes.
Mm-hmm.
All kinds of gym shoes.
Yeah.
And he had hundreds of boxes. Some he never even wore. Some were Michael Jordan, some were just cool Vans.
Sure.
And he went through those and tried to whittle down as many as he could.
Just for spatial reasons?
Yes, because they lived in a small apartment. They were expecting a child. And I mean, really, what do you need with all those? He mentioned there were like 50 he's never even worn.
Right.
So he went through it and you know, he had to do it several times, like, I'm going to keep this one. Maybe not. So he whittled it down and was able to display them.
Yeah.
He probably still had too many in Marie's eyes, but what he kept, he displayed and made like this beautiful, neat, and organized collection of it.
Oh.
There was another man who had baseball cards that he had collected by himself, and then he did it with his children as they were growing up.
Uh-huh.
So half of his room were just paper boxes filled with tons of baseball cards.
But all you saw was the boxes.
Right. It was
a
clutterful mess.
Oh, all right.
So he went through them and he took the ones he loved and put them in binders and got them all organized and was able to purge a little bit. And he said, you know, it's a weird thing. Volume is what used to make me happy. Now it's quality. I have kept the ones so I can truly enjoy the ones I've kept.
Oh, I understand that. Sure.
But if it's something you want to keep,
right,
you just have to, you know, a lot of people say, you know, I'm collecting albums, like my son Michael. They're all over his room.
Mm-hmm.
You need to get them organized and display them. But
you could see where somebody, if you're a book lover, right, you could see where somebody would go, I understand getting rid of clutter, but books have this everlasting meaning. It never goes away. It intensifies a lot of times as time goes on. The last thing I would want to do, I have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of books, some on display on bookshelves, some just packed away. I couldn't do that.
Books bring you back to a moment in your life.
Every time.
So do albums. So does everything.
No, that's what I'm saying. Books and albums do for me.
Yeah.
A movie wouldn't as much. Like a DVD case wouldn't do it.
To each his own.
I mean,
T-shirts. This is ridiculous. T-shirts bring me back to different things. Like if I bought a concert tickets or a concert shirt, my kids' Little League T-shirts, which I have all saved in a box because one day I was going to make a quilt for them using all their T-shirts. Great idea. Haven't done it yet. Maybe for their 21st birthday.
That's a great idea. Well, you think you'll do it for the 21st?
Now that I'm getting so organized and I got a sewing machine, perhaps I'm going to become Sue Ann Niven.
Interesting. All right, let's do this. We'll take a break, get you some news. Steve has the news for you. And then Alexander Zalbin joins us from TheDecider.com. A lot ahead. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Steve, thanks so much. Alexander Zalbin joins us right now. He's the managing editor over at Decider.com. Decider.com, a wonderful website if you like your show business news. How are you? Everything good, Alex?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Really good, really good. There's a couple things that need to be discussed right away. Number one, I just heard yesterday, I know that there's this show Star Trek Discovery, another version of Star Trek on CBS All Access, but is it true that Mr. Spock is on the show?
Yes, he is. He is going to be in the second season. He actually just debuted on the show kind of last night. We got to see a younger version of him, but the older version played by an actor named Ethan Peck is going to show up pretty soon. He's got a beard, so it looks a little bit different. But yeah, Spock.
So is it? It's obviously the same Mr. Spock from the original Star Trek series, but at what point in his life is this?
So this is actually pre the original series is the way that it's set up. Discovery takes place during the time, this is getting really into Star Trek lore, of the time of Captain Christopher Pike.
Oh, yeah.
It was actually from the original Star Trek pilot.
Before
not
Captain
even
Kirk.
From the Star Trek. Yeah, exactly. So they're working that into continuity. There's an actor named Anson Mount, if you ever saw Marvel's kind of terrible Inhuman series. He was the star of that. But he shows up as Captain Christopher Pike. He's sort of the new acting captain of the Discovery. He's fantastic. We haven't met the adult Spock yet, but it should be a lot of fun.
Captain Pike is not mentioned in a Nana song, so that's not as cool.
Right,
so that's right. Captain Kirk.
So he was, when they originally conceptualized the idea of Star Trek, Jeffrey Hunter played him, and he was going to be the captain, but they, for some reason, decided he didn't have enough pull. They wanted to go with Shatner, right?
Why do we even have Alexander on, Bill? We could just interview you.
You could. I don't want that. I want Alex to be here.
Well, that's all right. It's good. I'll just be quiet. You can actually track down the original pilot, The Cage. I believe they have it on Netflix and a couple of other places. I assume it's also on CBS All Access, which is where you can find Star Trek Discovery. But they basically jettisoned everything about the show except for Leonard Nimoy as Spock. There's a couple of other things, you know, the basic idea and whatever. But they replaced most of the rest of the cast. Spock is even very different from how he is in The Cage in that first pilot than he is in the William Shatner pilot. And that's kind of what they're playing with a little bit here in Discovery, which is a lot of fun. The other thing that works in, Sonequa Martin-Green, who you might know for Walking Dead, is the star of Star Trek Discovery. And they did this weird little retcon where she is Spock's adopted sister. which we've been wondering about all the first season, and we're going to find out in the second season how that actually worked, why we've never heard about her before, why Spock has never mentioned her, and it sounds like there's going to be a little bit of sibling rivalry going on.
Oh, interesting. Very good. The other major difference is in the pilot, they had, instead of driving around in the Star Trek Enterprise, it's a Plymouth. Everybody's in a Plymouth.
Yeah, and it's actually, they solve crimes, and
right,
that's pretty much all they do.
The cartoon dog. It's excellent. All right, here's a quick question that's not on our list of things to discuss, but I'm curious. Netflix announced a rate increase. It's going to cost a couple dollars more to get Netflix. Are people up in arms in that? Are they upset about this? It doesn't seem that big of a deal.
Of course people are upset, because it's going to be more money. It's more money a month. It's the biggest increase I believe Netflix has ever seen, but they are only going up to $13 a month, which, frankly, not to sound too proletariat about it, but
totally worth it.
Yeah, there's so much content coming out. Part of the difficult position that Netflix is in right now is they are so huge that they have to make exponentially more money and sign up exponentially more users every single year. And even though they had, I believe, their biggest year ever for signups, they're still losing a little bit of money. So they're trying to get in the black there. I always get that term wrong. I think I got it right. And part of that is the rate increases. But at the same time, there's more TV shows, there's more movies, there's more legacy content. So there's tons of stuff to watch on there. So at the moment, I would say it's still very much worth it.
And think about it. $13.99 a month. We have four people in our house that all use it. So that isn't $13.99 a month. You know what I mean? It's less per person.
Right.
Totally worth it.
Yeah, and the amount of people that are watching Netflix and the amount they are watching, it doesn't exactly pay for itself, but certainly if you're going out and purchasing those things on iTunes or paying for a cable subscription over, say, an internet subscription, you're going to make the money back that way.
Wendy, ask your question about the timing of this. You asked a question the other day.
Oh, yeah. Bird Box did so stellar, and it's been confirmed that what Netflix says was, 40 million people watching it has kind of been confirmed. Is that why the rate increase is have anything to do with that?
No, it just has to do with financial quarters more than anything. I believe they actually they just missed their quarter four projections. I may have gotten that wrong, and if I did, please excuse me. But, they're trying to make up the money that way. It's a new year. They're doing the increase. And in terms of the stats, I'll point people to an article that actually just went up a couple of minutes ago on TheDecider.com. One of our news reporters, Claire Spellberg, actually talked to Netflix and found out more about the Bird Box stats. There's also a show called You that got under a million people per episode on Lifetime. And yesterday they said 40 million people watched it on Netflix, which kind of blew everybody's minds. So we dug into it and found out exactly what they mean by 40 million. And it's pretty interesting the way that they break down the stats, because it could potentially be even more than that. Obviously, they're not going into your house and seeing, oh, your entire family watched it together. But they're not even breaking it down by accounts. So if you and your sister and your mom all have different Netflix accounts on the same account, it all counts as one view. So potentially, even more people are watching things like Bird Box, like You, than they're even reporting at this point.
Interesting.
That is interesting. Speaking of Netflix, they have a new documentary premiering called Fire, The Greatest Party That Never Happened. I don't know too much about this. What is it?
Oh, boy. So this blew up the internet last year when this happened. There was a festival called the Fyre Festival. It was supposed to be the most elite music festival of all time. They promoted it with supermodels all over the place, said it was creme de la creme. And when people got there, they found basically these dome tents on an almost deserted island with not enough food. And the example picture that you might have seen passed around is they passed around food for this elite music festival. And it's basically a piece of toast with American cheese on it.
I remember this.
Yeah. So the interesting thing that happened is Netflix released their documentary today, which our reviewer Leah said is excellent and actually surprisingly emotional, because it looks at the people in charge were clearly corrupt and had to deal with the law, but there were people who worked on it who truly believed in this festival and felt completely gypped by the end of it. But Hulu actually released their own documentary as a surprise earlier this week. So there's two competing fire festival docs you can watch depending on what service you want to look at. Mm-hmm. The Fire doc on Hulu actually has the founder of the festival, so that's a little bit interesting. But if you want to go for the emotion, you want to go for the human element, definitely watch the one on Netflix.
They actually at some point either were ordered to or decided on their own to refund the money to the people who paid to attend this, correct?
Yeah, I believe so. And people are still upset. One of the producers was Ja Rule, the musical artist, and he has been on a nonstop apology tour ever since.
I would have forgotten about that had this not come up. I want to watch that.
Me too. Season 2 of The Punisher, the Marvel superhero The Punisher, what do we have to look forward to with this?
So I got to tell you, I'm not the biggest Punisher fan. For those who don't know the character, he's a Marvel quote-unquote superhero, but basically his power is to shoot people with guns, and that's pretty much it. He has a code. But the first season starring Jon Bernthal, also of The Walking Dead, was really excellent. It dealt with PTSD. It dealt with the cost of violence. It was very rich and emotionally strong with the characters. The second season, not so much. It's more... The first three episodes are kind of great. They're very pulpy action movies. But then it devolves into a lot of circuitous plot lines. It gets stuck in itself a little bit. Jon Bernthal is still excellent throughout, and I think fans of the character will be pleased because it's gory and it's super violent, but it's nowhere near the level of the first season.
Did you see what other job Jon Bernthal, the Punisher, just got?
He's so good looking.
That would be it. Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, is that what you're talking about?
He's going to be in the Sopranos movie. He's going to be one of the early Sopranos characters.
That's a good choice.
He's going to be the Punisher again, and he's just going to take care of all the mobsters.
Right.
So that's the end of the movie.
Yep, it's easy. All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break, and then more television talk with Alexander Zeldman. He's the managing editor of Decider.com. Stay here. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN. It's Bill and Wendy with you, along with Alexander Zeldman, managing editor of Decider.com. Alex, I don't watch the show. I know people love it, but Celebrity Big Brother...
I watch it.
I know you love it. I know
people.
You love it. Well, Wendy, you are in for a treat because they have assembled an all-star list of cast members for Celebrity Big Brother.
Last season, Celebrity Big Brother was lame, so I know some of the names. I hope it's better, Alex.
Well, get ready because Kate O'Kalin, Dina Lohan, Joey Lawrence, and Anthony Scaramucci are all going to be on the show. I know your mind is blown. They got the biggest.
She just walked out, Alex. She just went home.
Kate O'Kalin, I'm intrigued with. I want to see how good his hair looks.
I got to say, the last time he was a house guest, though, that didn't really work out very well.
Right.
Too much.
Joey Lawrence. I'll watch it.
Whoa.
And this is Lindsay Lohan's mom. That's pretty pathetic.
Lindsay Lohan's mom. The joke that everybody's making is about Anthony Scaramucci in particular, that he's only going to last 10 days in the house based on the last time that happened.
Yeah.
We'll see. Whatever it is, it's a collection of ridiculous celebrities all forced in a house together. It should be a beautiful train wreck. So if you're into that sort of thing, that starts Monday at 8 p.m. on CBS.
I'll give it a shot, but it is nowhere near as good as the real Big Brother, in my opinion. I mean, really. Yeah. I really enjoy the real Big Brother. This is just a spoof of itself.
Alex,
please go ahead.
They want them to fight, right? I mean, they do things to stir it up in there because it's only going to work if they fight, right?
Yeah, what I was going to say is I think the difference between the regular Big Brother versus Celebrity Big Brother is Celebrity Big Brother is all about that train wreck. These are celebrities that are looking for, you know, maybe the 16th minute of their 15 minutes of fame to get on TV versus Big Brother is a legitimate game show where, sure, you're going to get those fame-mongering people, but for the most part, it's people who really do play the game and are into the game and
strategy.
Want to win.
Yeah. This is going to be a joke, but I'll check it out.
Lindsay Lohan's mother.
I know. Isn't that the
Lindsay
lamest?
Lohan's mother. Black Monday debuts on Sunday night over on Showtime. It's got Don Cheadle in it. That's all I need to know. I want to see it. What else should I know?
Well, our viewer, Josh Surikatch, loved the show. It's on Showtime at 10 p.m. He said it's like Wall Street, but funny. And it's set during the 1987 stock market crash. It comes from Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg, who, Wendy, I know you love Preacher, yes. So they're behind this as well. It's got Regina Hall in it. Andrew Rannells is in it. Paul Scheer. It's ridiculous. It's over the top. It's very funny. You can actually watch, I believe, the first episode for free on YouTube, so you can search it out there and kind of sample it before you jump in on Showtime. But by all accounts, it's a great show.
All right, so like we said, that premieres this upcoming Sunday night.
Black Monday,
it's called, with Don Cheadle. The Magicians over on Sci-Fi. Mm-hmm. What's this?
This is absolutely one of my favorite shows, and I don't think anybody watches it except for TV critics, but it's so good. It's coming back for a fourth season Wednesday on Sci-Fi at 9 p.m. It's based on the books by Lev Grossman, and it started as kind of an adultish riff on Harry Potter parody, but it's grown so much from there and changed. It's basically about magicians in the real world, but they're very sardonic. They're very wry. They play against every cliche you possibly can imagine. There's a lot of cursing. There's a lot of sex. Anything that you know from mythology or anything like that is absolutely going to get skewered. But at the same time, it doesn't shy away from real deep emotion with the characters. I say this with no hyperbole. One of the episodes they did the last season was one of the most emotionally powerful TV episodes I've ever seen in my entire life. Yeah.
Wow.
Great. Definitely check
Any
it out.
Any names we would recognize in the cast?
No. The only one you might recognize is Jason Ralph, who is actually dating slash has been together for a really long time with Rachel Brosnahan, you know, as Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Yeah.
So you might know him from cutaways into the audience at the Golden Globes.
What about Lindsay Lohan's mom?
She's on it as well.
She is
absolutely. It's the same cast, the Celebrity Big Brother.
Brexit in real life is still a thing,
and
yet they've made an HBO movie about it already, huh?
Yeah, this is kind of a pattern with HBO, where about 2 years after something happens or so, they'll release a made-for-TV movie about it, and Saturday night at 9 p.m., they're releasing the Brexit movie, stars Benedict Cumberbatch in it, and it shows both sides of the 2016 Brexit campaign, Leave and Remain. I personally haven't seen it, but from reviews and folks that I've talked to, it's okay. It's exactly what you'd expect. You know, it sort of gives the beat-by-beat, here's what happened, particularly because we're not far enough along in history to actually look back on it.
Yeah.
But Cumberbatch's performance is great because he's great. So it's worth checking out, at least for that.
He is one of those actors who just proudly does both feature films and television concurrently.
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason why you shouldn't. A lot of actors, for a long time, that was a stigma. It's either movies or TV. He goes back and forth effortlessly, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think, honestly, in a weird way, he was one of the first ones to do that. Certainly, he started in TV and then went over to movies, but he's been very comfortable, as you said, moving back and forth, particularly if it's a higher prestige project like this. And I think that's good. You know, there really isn't any separation right now, and particularly having something that is an HBO Saturday night movie, that's a prime spot, and you're honestly even going to get more viewers for that than, say, if a Brexit movie was released in theaters.
Right. Real quick, I don't know if you're up on this controversy over the Bird Box, not the challenge. That was last week's Bird Box big story. Mm-hmm. It was the Bird Box challenge. But apparently they used some footage. There's a scene early on where things are not going well with the planet, all right. So they cross cut a bunch of footage of car crashes and disasters. And apparently one of the scenes that they show is a train disaster that really happened in Canada and Quebec a couple of years ago.
And 47 people died.
Right. Right. So people are now saying, hey, you really should consider removing that sequence in there. What do you think of that?
Well, we actually wrote that up on the website yesterday. Again, our news reporter, Claire, contacted Netflix about it and talked to them about the issue. Their feeling on it is they're going to keep it in Bird Box. It's also in the show Travelers, and it's kind of up for grabs right now whether it will be taken out of there or not. But because it's such a quick blip in Bird Box that's barely noticeable except to people who know the disaster, they're just going to leave it there and kind of move on. So for better or for worse, I mean, my take on it is I feel for the people who experienced that disaster. I don't think necessarily they should have used that footage for the movie. But as far as I understand it, it's not totally on Netflix because it is stock footage that was going to be used. So I think at least legally they're coming from a defensible position there.
Right.
Morally, that's another question.
Yeah, good point.
Excellent. Well, Alex, thank you so much for your expertise. It's always fun to talk to you. It's Alex Zelbin, managing editor of Decider.com. We'll talk to you in a week.
All right, sounds good. Thanks so much,
guys. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
A little bit of a break, some news, and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Thank you, David. Still to come, we're going to talk to Denny Lane, formerly of the Moody Blues of Wings. He's going to be performing a solo show at Evanston Rocks tonight, and we'll talk to him at noon 05 on the stream.
He's a nice man. We had him in studio about a year and a half, 2 years ago. Were you
I
not
was
there?
On vacation.
Oh, he's a really nice guy.
Super.
Really nice guy. Legendary performer. As we all know, posting things on social media can be problematic. You'll often get criticized if what you post is not up to community standards. Here's an example or two. There's a photograph of a woman who works at Subway. This is the Subway located in, State Street near the University of Michigan. In Michigan, obviously.
Probably very busy with students coming in for their... footlongs.
Yeah, I would think extremely busy. All right, so a photo of a Subway employee resting her bare feet on the food preparation counter.
Oh my gee!
Is concerning a health department in Michigan. This according to the restaurant chain. A woman Tara Renee took a photo of the worker talking on her phone while her uncovered feet were propped up on the counter where sandwich ingredients were stored.
Why would you do that?
I don't know. I have no idea.
And were there gloves on her feet?
Yes, they are required. The parent company requires that you wear those clear gloves. I wear those all the time, Wendy. I don't work at a Subway. I just think they look stylish. This is at the Subway on State Street near the U of M, University of Michigan, and it's quite disgusting. I'm sure the health department would have an issue with this. Bon appetit, Renee wrote on her Facebook account. Sources told WXZY that the Ann Arbor-based employee was the owner's wife. Well, then it's okay. If she's part of the ownership team. Although Yahoo Lifestyle could not confirm that. When called for comment, no one in the restaurant picked up the phone. Always a good sign of a restaurant when you call them and they're not answering their phone calls. She's denied ever doing this, and it was 3 days ago. There's still been no admission of responsibility. I think if you have a photograph of it...
Proof's in the pudding.
That's more...
Or the mayo.
They do not serve pudding at this particular Subway, Wendy. That's unfortunate also. There's been no admission of responsibility or personal apology to customers, according again to the local station WXYZ. Clip Kluffenstein.
That is a fake name.
Business development agent at Subway, and it says here real name, tells Yahoo Lifestyle, the behavior in this photograph is inconsistent with the high standards that Subway requires of its restaurants. Food safety and restaurant cleanliness are top priorities. We are investigating and will take appropriate action.
I just figured it out.
What is it?
Free advertising.
No.
Footlong.
On Monday. Right.
They're not $5
she's
anymore.
Proving her point.
Yes.
It says footlong. I want to prove to you, the customer, that these are not just words. This is real. Look, it's as long as the sandwich is as long as my foot. Now pay up. On Monday, Renee, that's the woman who took the photograph, sent the photo to the Ouachita County Health Department, the agency that oversees customer complaints and performs restaurant inspections in the Subway's jurisdiction. The image is a strong visual representation of a food safety concern. I think more than a concern. A concern is a little bit vague. When you see a woman with her shoes off where the food is prepared, that's more than a concern.
That is unacceptable.
No, 100% unacceptable.
How did that meeting at home go if that was the owner's wife? Honey?
I know. I don't ask a lot of you. But I am going to ask one thing. From this day forward, could you please keep your feet off the food preparation counter? Please. Please. We explained to Subway why bare feet on a countertop was unhygienic.
No one has to explain to
them.
That
does not need to be explained.
Now, I'm curious because I missed this at the very beginning. You said it.
Wait a minute.
Yes.
Wait a minute. Doesn't have to be explained?
No, it does not have to be explained.
When you have a society where you have to put on a hairdryer, do not use while in a bathtub.
Yes.
Come on.
Right.
Really?
No, we know.
So who took the picture of this woman's foot?
It was a customer.
A patron? Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
A potential customer.
Yeah.
This might change my mind. I was in a place once where food was being prepared similar to this, and one of the two people working by the counter kept sneezing over and over and over. And
Into their arm like the vampire sneeze?
Did they at least have a sneeze guard over the food?
It was kind of a move your head out of the way kind of a sneeze. Like, I have to sneeze. I'm not going to sneeze toward the food. But just seeing, like, the first sneeze concerned me. The second sneeze repelled me. On the second one, I'm like, I will find another place that sells food. Thank you, though.
This was not at a Subway, but I will say it was at a sandwich shop, so one of them.
Yeah.
And it frustrated me because they would make your sandwich, and now if you go into Subway or anywhere, you see them put a fresh pair of gloves on to make your sandwich.
Sure.
This person had gloves on, but was also working the register and giving change with the gloves on, which defeats the whole purpose
of
having...
Then you got money germs on your gloves.
Yeah.
Right.
So, I mean, they're cheap little gloves.
Right.
Just put it in. I like to see a fresh pair of gloves donned before my sandwich is made.
I even ask if I can have my own pair of gloves. I say, could you
eat it?
Could you throw it? No, just to wear while I'm eating the sandwich so I feel like I'm part of the team.
That's sweet.
My understanding is that the employee, it says here, was fired. Not if it was the owner's wife. You can't fire your wife.
You can ask her not to come into your store anymore.
Right. Feet off the counter, honey. My understanding is the employee was fired and that this was a lapse of judgment, according to somebody who works at Subway. They said that the agency usually handles restaurant complaints that are far worse, like rodent infestation, sewage problems, and unsanitized kitchen tools. Unwashed feet can transfer dust or bacteria to the food space.
No kidding.
Says. Yeah, we know everyone in the world knows that part of it, right?
Jasmine, filed that under duh.
Right. We're getting to the root cause, said the spokesperson. Do employees have an appropriate place to take breaks or chairs that allow them to relax? Well, that is a concern also. But if I'm in there buying a sandwich, that's not my major concern. It's could you please take your feet off the counter, please?
815 wants to know, well, were her feet clean, at least?
They're very fake on that. I don't know. Like, that would make it okay. Let me see those.
Nice
see.
Pedicure.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, can I have a meatball sub?
In December, that particular Subway location received zero violations during an inspection.
She's ruining
That's
it, man.
Good.
Bringing the average down.
Yep. And unless bare feet are a repeated occurrence, there are no fines or penalties. Well, how many times does it have to happen before they consider it to be an issue? Because I think one is about the magic number on this.
I don't know, man.
I don't think you need a repeat violation. I think one time is all you need to go, I'll do my shopping elsewhere. Thank you, though. As usual, Subway will continue undergoing periodic inspections by the health department. All right. That's good. That's a start.
A lot of jokes coming in. a lot of footlong jokes, but this is the best. I'd like to order an athlete's footlong sub. Thank you, listeners. Always so much fun.
All right. Let us take a break.
Let us.
All right. And then more shows. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
I'm a big fan of Subway, by the way.
I am, too. Eat fresh, Wendy.
I do. Turkey on wheat all the time.
Yes.
I love it.
They're so good. Let me quickly catch you up if you're just joining us. A photo is circulating of a woman, an employee at a Subway located in Michigan. This is right near the University of Michigan on State Street, where an employee of that Subway restaurant had her feet up on the counter where they have all the ingredients and where they make the sandwiches. A customer, it doesn't say if she was already a customer or she was in line or whatever. She walks in and she sees this woman with her feet up on the counter and took a picture of it and put it on social media, and nobody's too pleased.
As you'd imagine. A lot of footlong jokes.
You were the first, though.
Thank you.
You
lot of toe jam jokes.
Oh. Nice.
But wait, they get better.
A jam and cheese. That's their special for January.
Can I have a side order? Or wait. Hang on. Because right. I want to give the first person who texted it.
All right.
Pedway, not Subway. you said you wanted onions? I thought you said bunions. Very funny, listeners. Love you guys.
So let's say you went to that particular restaurant with some regularity, once a month, once every other month, you name it, and you saw that one time, would you ever go back again?
I would talk to the manager, because I go to the same Subway all the time, and I know the manager.
Yeah.
And I would ask to speak to the manager and go, listen, I saw something that you're not going to be proud of.
Right. That's the right way to play it, I think.
And
because what they want is repeat customers. What any restaurant wants is repeat customers. And if something like that happens and you potentially will never go there again, hopefully they'll do whatever it takes to fix that, right?
Although you would be complaining and say, I saw this terrible woman who had her... Yeah, that was my wife. Very sorry about that, but I have to be honest with you. If I come in and see your wife working behind the counter, I'm going to a different Subway.
Right.
So that's how I would handle it.
That's not bad. Are there more texts, or should I get to the second story?
No, they're just getting more disgusting, and it is the lunch hour, so I'm going to keep some of that. Put it this way, you're a fun guy. I just don't want to, yeah.
Why can't, now, as we've said, both you and I frequent Subway restaurants. Why is there such a limited amount of cheese options? Like, if you ask for Swiss cheese, they stare you down. Like, are you kidding, Swiss cheese?
They have provolone, they have white American, and then they have like a shredded cheddar jack type thing.
Yeah.
That's a very good point.
Just put some Swiss cheese in. It's not tough. I told you about the one down the street. This is the craziest thing. I love black olives on a Subway sandwich. So I normally ask for extra. So at that point, he goes, what do you want? I go, onions, lettuce, black olives. I go, could I have some extra black olives? And he looks at me and he puts one additional black olive.
That's pretty bad because I like the pepper rings and I like a lot of the banana pepper rings.
Yeah.
So I say, you know, I go extra tomato and they just put the four on there. And I said, extra tomato. And they do. They put one more slice and look at me. I said,
Keep them coming.
Right. I'll tell you when to stop. And same with the pepper rings. They don't put that much. So I'm like, can I have some extra pepper rings? They put a few more, but this guy's just trying to irritate you.
And, you know, they're cut so smaller anyway. So it was like one thousandth of an ounce of extra black olives.
It didn't even matter.
Mm, delicious.
Tomato. need a tow truck to get her out of there.
Ah, that's good stuff.
You guys are killing me.
That's good stuff. Paul, here's another story about social media coming back to bite you. We only have a minute here. Paul Dawson had been to a branch of TGI Fridays when he accidentally gave his 5-year-old baby son a taste of hot sauce, but he was later visited by police. Police paid the father a visit after he posted a joke on Facebook about how he accidentally gave his tiny son, keep in mind his son is 5 days old, a taste of hot chili sauce.
Who's the joke on?
Barber Paul Dawson, age 39, was stunned when two officers came to his home in Stockton, this is near Cleveland, Ohio, to ask about giving his 5-day-old son Ben the spicy sauce. The incident was sparked by somebody reporting him to Cleveland police after they saw him post that he had written about his trip to TGI Friday's restaurant. Mr. Dawson explained that he was out with his partner and their baby, who was born on New Year's Day, and that the infant was being breastfed. Cleveland police visited barber Paul Dawson. I don't know why they keep mentioning that he's a barber, but he apparently is because it says it every time it says his name. After he posted on Facebook joking that he gave his son the sauce. After wiping his hands on a napkin, the businessman took hold of the baby to allow his partner to feed her food, to eat the food. I'm sorry. Mr. Dawson told the Gazette newspaper that he put a knuckle in Ben's mouth to pacify him, forgetting that it had been in the very hot chili sauce. The baby then made a funny face and nothing else happened. Mr. Dawson later wrote on Facebook, apparently 5-day-old babies don't like it when their dads put their fingers in their mouths after eating hot wings. Is that enough to arrest him?
No.
Would police come to the house based on that?
That doesn't seem right.
I guess what they're worried about is endangerment of a child, of an infant.
Well,
but I don't
Who
know.
Who hasn't given their kid a lemon wedge when they're
right,
little?
Right.
And love the look right. that happens.
But you give them to other people's kids, and I think that's where the problem is. Yeah.
Getting back to the Subway foot thing, maybe the customer who ordered the sandwich usually puts his foot in his mouth.
Maybe.
And finally.
Yes.
Soul food.
Oh, excellent. Well done. Well done. All right. We're going to the stream. Wendy and I are headed toward the stream. We would like you to join us there. Coming up, though, the stories that matter right here with David Jennings from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio.